Now, Dathan and Aviram did not like that everybody goes with this Amunah in Moshe. They said, maybe it's not like Moshe says. Maybe it's different. Let's make a trick that everybody should not believe so much in Moshe. So this is what they did. They made another trick. They said, look, if we keep our man till tomorrow, it's not going to stink, because Moshe said it's not going to stink. But let's make Moshe look like he's not always telling the truth. And this is what they did. They are going to hide man in the Midbar, and they're going to go out on Shabbos to get it and bring it back. And they're going to show the Yidden that the man did fall on Shabbos. Not like Moshe said, there's no man. There is man, and they're going to bring it back. What did they do? The man for Friday, they didn't eat. They kept it. Friday night, they snuck out in the Midbar, and they put the man behind the big rock, and they hid it over there. They came back. Now, they were very hungry, weren't they? But they made themselves hungry because it was worth it for them that they should make this trick. Shabbos morning, Dathan and Aviram, of course, were very hungry because they had not eaten Friday night because they had taken their man and hid it out in the Midbar. They said, Shabbos, we'll eat. Don't worry. They started to go with their bowls out of their tents. The Yidden said, hey, you're not allowed to carry your bowls. Who said? Moshe told us. Yeah, Moshe told you. He also told you there's no man in the Midbar. Well, we're going to show you there is. Moshe is just making up things from his own head, and I don't think it's true. You're going to see, we're going to get man today from the Midbar. No, Moshe said there's no man in the Midbar. Oh yeah, you want to see? They started carrying their bowls, and the Yidden were in front of their tents watching what's going to happen. What's going to happen when they go to get their man and bring it back? It's not going to look good. Now, Kinalach, the birdies were flying in the sky. The birdies were listening to what was going on, and the birdies had enough smartness in their brain to do what I'm going to tell you this. And they also want to serve Hashem, and they also want to help a tzaddik, like the birdie story I told you with Eliyahu Hanavi, remember? That the birdies brought him to eat food in the cave when he was hiding. And these birdies were also helper birdies for Moshe Rabbeinu. Very quickly, the birdies flew over behind the rock to where all the man was hidden, and they ate all the man up in order that Moshe Rabbeinu should not, chas v'shalom, be spoken against with Lashon Hara or Rechilas or Moshe Shemra. Moshe Shemra is a lie. Lashon Hara means it's true, but it's not nice. Moshe Shemra is mamash a lie. By the time Dathan and Aviram went to the rock, and they were laughing, hey, now we're going to get our man and show everybody how Moshe Rabbeinu is not telling the truth. They went behind the rock, and there was nothing there. Hey, this must be the wrong rock. Let's go to a different rock. No, this is the rock. Where's the man? I don't know where's the man. They went to a different rock. Maybe it's a different rock. Every single rock they went, they couldn't find the man, because the birdies ate it up. And the birdies are laughing up in the sky, and they're tweeting around, or they're having such a fun time because they know they'd help Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're so happy. And Dathan and Aviram go back finally with empty bowls. And the Yidden said, see, there's no man out there. Anyway, what do you need extra man for? Didn't you take double on Erev Shabbos? We saw you take double. Be happy with what you have. Of course, they went back, and they couldn't tell the Yidden that they hid the man out there. They went back to their tent. There's no man, right? Because they took it out there. They were starving because they had hid the man from Erev Shabbos plus Shabbos. Now, could they go to their neighbors and start borrowing food to eat? Or the neighbors would know that they played a trick, right? So they had to spend the whole Shabbos starving. And they also didn't eat Erev Shabbos and Kinalach. In this way, Moshe Rabbeinu was helped from Chas Shalom having such a plan against him. Now, this is in Parshas B'Shalach. Of course, this is a Medrash, but I mean the whole Parsha of Man is in B'Shalach. Who knows that it's a minig for Parshas B'Shalach, also for Shabbos Shira, it's the same thing, to put out kasha for the birdies. It's a minig to put out food for the birdies. So this is the story that is the sheirish for that minig, because the birdies helped Moshe Rabbeinu. Also, the birdies that sang by the Yam Suf. Who remembers that birdies sang by the Yam Suf? Okay, so there's two things of birdies over there. One thing is that the birdies help Moshe Rabbeinu by eating the man, so we feed the birdies. And also the birdies were singing by the Yam Suf. Now, one thing you should know, that when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, and when there was the Kriyas Yam Suf, the Goyim of the world were afraid of the Yidden, because they heard about the Makos. They heard what happened in Mitzrayim. They heard that the Jewish people went out free from Mitzrayim with big nisim and big miracles. And they knew about the splitting of the Yam Suf, because you know what? When the sea split, every water, everything of water in the world at the same time split. If somebody was taking a bath 100 miles away, all of a sudden the water in the bathtub split. If a person was in a swimming pool 1,000 miles away, all of a sudden the water split. If a person was drinking a glass of water, all of a sudden water moved over to one side of the cup, and the other part of the water moved over to the other side of the cup, and in the middle was an empty space. Everywhere water split. And they said, what's happening over here? They found out that this was the time that the Yidden were going through the Yam Suf. Big Nisim. Now, Kinalach, also in Eretz Canaan, which later, of course, will become Eretz Israel, there were living the 31 kings, and there were living the seven nations of Goyim. And there were Goyim all around. And people were so afraid because they knew the Yidden are coming. Now, are they afraid of the Yidden or are they afraid of Hashem? They're afraid of Hashem, and they know the Yidden are Hashem's people. Now, one nation called the Girgashi, they packed up their suitcases and they ran away. Because, in other words, everybody knows the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim because Hashem wants them to go to Eretz Canaan. And Eretz Canaan, Hashem gave to the Yidden, and Hashem is going to make Eretz Canaan Eretz Israel. Which means that the Goyim that live in Eretz Canaan have to get out. They have to go away. Now, is Hashem really taking it away from them, or he's giving back to the Yidden what's really theirs? Exactly. Now, if you remember, okay, first of all, when Hashem created the world, he already knew, even before he created the world, even before Hashem created the world, it says 2,000 years before Hashem created the world, Hashem already had the Torah. And in the Torah, it already says about the Yidden and Eretz Israel. Of course, it doesn't mean 2,000 years on the clock or the calendar, because time did not be, and there was no such thing as time before Hashem created the world. When you learn Chassidus, you'll find out what it means, 2,000 years. If Hashem didn't make any years until he made the world. But it means that what came first, the Torah or the world? The Torah came before the world. What does a builder do when he wants to build a building? He doesn't go right away to build the building. Come here. What is the first thing the builder does?
He makes a picture of the house, and then whenever he wants to do something of the house, he looks on the picture.
Very good. You said it so well. That's called the blueprints. And the man who makes the blueprints is called the architect. Every little detail of the house, every wall, and every room, and every floor, and every window, and even where the plug will go, And every little detail of the house, he puts in the blueprints. And then he looks into the blueprints and he says, okay, here I have to make this wall, then he goes to build it. Here I have to make this room, here I have to make this window, here is where there's going to be a hallway, here is there there's going to be stairs, here there's going to be a pipe, or there's going to be a beam, or whatever there's going to be. He first looks into the blueprints, then he goes to build it. Now, Kindalach, everything that happens in the whole world, not only everything that Hashem made, of course, every tree and every mountain and all the oceans, all of this is written about in the Torah, but everything that's going to happen until Mashiach comes and even after Mashiach comes, all of these things are in the Torah because this is the blueprints for the world. So already in the beginning of the world, before the world was even here, was already Hashem's idea that He's going to make a place called Eretz Yisrael. And it's going to be the place for the Yidden. Then later on, Hashem created the world. And He made Adam in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in the place of Beis HaMikdash. Remember He made Adam? From the Adama? Then later on, He went to Gan Eden. And then later on, Kinelach. In the time of Noach, Kinelach were three people, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. Okay, after the Mabul I'm talking about. What happened after the Mabul? They came out of the Teva. It was a brand new world. And now, who's going to live where? Who's going to live where? Okay, they all lived together. What happened later on in the Noach? We didn't learn it yet, but we're going to learn it. In Parsha we had it. Remember they built the tower? Yeah. Until the time of Avram Avinu, Avram was 48 years old in the time of the tower. Everyone was living in one place. Then after the whole Tower of Maisa, which I've told you already, the world split up and people went different places. Where did the people of Shem go? They went to Eretz Yisrael. It was not called Eretz Yisrael. It was called Eretz... No, it was probably called Eretz Shem. Or it had its own name. This was the land which Shem got. This is the place that Shem got. This was their place. Now, why was it called Eretz Canaan? Remember Canaan? Canaan and Ham, these people went down to Africa. That was their place. And there's reasons why they went to Africa. It has to do with the story of the Lashon Hara. You remember when, after the Mabul, we're going to learn it inside soon, I told you outside, that Noach planted a vineyard. He planted grapes. He took the grapes and he made wine. And he drank the wine and he got shikr. And because he was very, very shikr, not that he drank so much, but it says that he was so tired from the mabul, even a little bit of wine makes a person very shikr if they're very, very tired. And what did he do? He uncovered himself because he was rolling around in bed very shikr. And then Canaan came in and saw. And instead of covering his Zaidi, he laughed. And then to make fun, he went and told his Tati Chom, which is, of course, this is Lashon Hara, if you say a thing which is true but it's not nice. And Chom came in, and instead of doing Kibud Av to cover his father, he also laughed. And they were both laughing, and they thought it was a big joke. They went outside, Canaan and Chom went outside to tell Shem and Yafes. And they thought that'll also make a joke. And Shem and Yafes came in. And Shem right away took the simla, some kind of a blanket or some kind of a clothing, like a garment, and covered Noach. And also Yafes helped, but he didn't really do it himself. He was just schlepping along with Shem. And of course, Noach when he woke up, he remembered what had happened. He had known what was going on. And he cursed Ham and Canaan. And he gave brachas to Shem and Yafes. Yafes, actually, his name was Yafes. And because of this curse, Ham and Canaan had to go down to Africa where it's very, very hot. Now, it was Mida Keneged Mida. Because they looked at the nakedness of their father, their eyes turned red, big and red. Because they turned around in order to look at their father's nakedness and turning, instead of turning away, their hair became very curly. Every hair was turned around. Because their lips spoke Lashon Hara, the lips got very fat and big. And because they saw their father naked and they didn't do anything about it, they had to go down to a place that they would have to go naked. So Hashem sent them to a very, very hot place that they were so hot they had to go naked. And it says that place was so hot, the skin turned black. Because it was so hot, the skin turned black, and they went barefoot and naked in this place. Later on, they got very tired of being in this very hot, uncomfortable place. So they decided, let's go to a nicer place. Where should we go? Let's go to the land of Shem. And Canaan, the people of Canaan came up. They made a war in the land of Shem, and they took over the land. They were fighting, and this was in the time of Avraham Avinu. They came up and made a war, and they took away the land of Shem, and they made it Eretz Canaan. But who did it really belong to, Shem or Canaan?
Shem.
To Shem. Canaan took it away. Then there were the seven nations, and then there were actually the 10 nations that lived in Eretz Canaan. 10 nations of Goyim, and altogether there were 31 kings. But really, it belonged to Shem. Now, who did the Yidden come from? Shem, Ham, or Yafes?
Shem.
From Shem. The Yidden came from Shem. We're Eniklach of Shem. So when the Eibishter gave the land of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, to become Eretz Yisrael to the Yidden, and he told the Yidden, when you get out of Mitzrayim, you should go and get the Torah, then you should go with the Torah into Eretz Yisrael, and that's going to be your land. So, of course, Hashem is giving back the land to the Yidden, who it belongs to in the first place. Because Hashem can choose whoever he wants to give a land if he wants to. It's called Eretz HaKodesh, the Halakha land. What did the Goyim do? They decide, I want to take away this land. They make a war and they take it away. So for a while they live there until other people say, oh, I want that land. So they make a war, they take it away. Who does it belong to? Whoever is stronger and who wins the war. Now, by Eretz Yisrael, can any Goyim go over there and make a war and take it away and call it theirs? Or it only belongs to the Yidden? No matter who takes it away, it only belongs to the Yidden. And if the Yidden are not there, it's only because they're in Galus, for whatever reason Hashem is not letting them be there. But it doesn't belong to the Goyim that are there. It belongs to the Yidden. It's Eretz HaKodesh, the Halakha land. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu did not go into Eretz Yisrael. He saw it from the mountain, from Har Nevoi, but he was not allowed to go ever, even one step, into Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua took the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. Now, during the time of Yehoshua and afterwards, the Yidden took away the parts that belonged to the 7 Goyim. But altogether, there were 10 Goyim living over there. When are the Yidden going to take away and get the whole Eretz Yisrael, even the part that belongs to the 3 Goyim? The Keni, the Knezi, and the Kadmoni. These are 3 Goyim that they did not yet conquer. It says in the time of Mashiach. Then we're going to get the whole Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be much, much bigger than it is now. Because we didn't get the whole thing yet. Now, the whole thing of going out from Mitzrayim was in order to go to Har Sinai and get the Torah. Now what I was telling you was, all the goyim were afraid. Some even ran away. The Girgashi packed up their suitcase and ran away, because they were afraid to start up with the Yidden, because they know if they're starting up with the Yidden, they're starting up with the Eibishter. And there's no way that anybody can win against the Eibishter. But there was one nation that was completely schlecht, and they decided that they're going to attack the Jewish people the first, even though they knew that Hashem did miracles. And they knew that Hashem is bringing the Yidden to Eretz Israel, to Eretz Canaan. They still made a war against the Yidden with chutzpah. You know what chutzpah is? Chutzpah is, you know who Hashem is, and on purpose you go against Him. And you know what they are called? Amalek. Amalek. Amalek came in the desert, and they attacked the Yidden first. And they attacked the weak Yidden outside of the cloud. The Yidden that were Shvach. And they made a war. And of course, Baruch Hashem, the Yidden won the war against the Amalek. But the chutzpah, to go against the Yidden, in the clouds, with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and with the nisim they go, such a shlecht chutzpah. Also, Kinalechi should know, what do the Yidden need in order to live? What does a person need? He needs a house. You need clothes, and you need food. You need water. Now, what did the Yidden have? They had the clouds. In the schus of Aaron, they had the clouds. Now, of course, they had their clothes. The water they had in the schus of Miriam. Now, they needed water. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, because they didn't have water in the desert, how did they get water? Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Yidden were crying for water, you see that rock over there? Speak to the rock, and water will come out from the rock. No problem. And there was a mix-up over there, and Moshe Rabbeinu took his stick, and he hit a rock. Now, that rock that he stuck his stick, and he struck that rock, water came out, and with the stick they drew a line to each shavit, and the water followed along the line like a river and took water to each shavit, and they had enough water to drink. Then the Yidden said, what happens when we travel? Because in the Midbar they were traveling around. How will we have water next time? The ness happened that as they were going, that rock with the hole in it, with the water, looked like a well of water. They looked behind them. It was following them. Now, wherever they went, that be'er, that well of water, was following them. And that was called Be'er Miriam. The well of Miriam. Be'er Miriam. Because it was following them in the Midbar, and there's the schus of Miriam. Probably because Miriam was waiting by the water to see what would happen to Moshe Rabbeinu, remember? Now, whenever they set up their camp, all they had to do was draw a line with a stick to the shavit, and the water follows and gives, and everybody goes over there and gets water. And when they pack up their stuff and they start going again, all they have to do is get water again from that bear, because as they're going in the Midbar, it's following them. All right, now, so in Parshas Yisroi, Yisroi goes out into the Midbar. Now, as I told you, Yisroi had davened to every getchke in the whole world. He had tried every getchke in the whole world, and he saw that each one was just baloney and baba mices and nothing and garnished. He threw everything in the garbage can. And now he heard that his son-in-law, now Moshe Rabbeinu had married Tzipora. Tzipora was Yisrael's daughter. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu is the son-in-law of Yisrael. Yisrael heard of all the big nisim that happened in Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. And he heard about the war of Amalek, that the Yidden won the war. And now Yisroel sees that the Yidden have gone out of Mitzrayim, and his son-in-law is leading the Yidden towards Matan Torah. And he goes out into the Midbar. He wants to become with the Yidden now. He wants to be with the Yidden. Now Yisroel became a ger. Yisroel at first was not a Yid, and he became a Yid. Okay, he wasn't a Yid, and he became a Yid. Now, Kinalaf, some people say that Yisroel went into the Midbar before the Torah was given, and some people say that Yisroel went into the Midbar after the Torah was given. But one thing for sure, Yisroel wanted to go out to learn Torah, and be with Moshe, and be with the Yidden, and he himself became a Yid. Okay? Now, what happened when Yisroel went out to the Midbar? First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu found out that Yisroel is coming to visit him. And together with Yisroel was Tzipora and Gershom and Eliezer. Now, Tzipora, Gershom, and Eliezer did not go to Mitzrayim. Remember when Aaron said they shouldn't go? Because it's too dangerous. So they went back home to Midian. Now that it was safe to go to Moshe, they went out to the Midbar. Moshe found out that Yisroel is coming, and he left his tent to go and meet his father-in-law. Aaron looks out of his tent and he sees, where's Moshe going? I wonder where he's going. And he went out to follow Moshe. The Zkenim, who were the big Talmidei Chachamim, they went out of their tents because they said, look, Moshe and Aaron are going out of their tents. I wonder where they're going. So they started following Moshe and Aaron. So now Moshe and Aaron and the Zkenim are going out. And then all the Yidden, they see, hey, look, Moshe and Aaron and all the Zkenim, they're walking somewhere. Let's also follow. So all of the Yidden now are following Moshe and Aaron and the Zkenim. So there's thousands and thousands of people walking behind Moshe and Aaron. And all of a sudden, Yisroel is coming and he sees thousands and thousands of people coming towards him. It was a big kavod that he was received with that in the Midbar. And then he was brought to Moshe, and Moshe brought him to the tent, and he told him about all the big nisim that happened, how Hashem helped the Yidden, and Yisroel got very excited. And then he saw the greatness of Hashem, Kinalach, when Hashem drowned the Mitzrim and the Yamasuf, Mida Kaneged Mida, because they did Avedas with the water, and they were punished in the water. And he says, for sure, I want to become a Yid, I'm so excited. And then he says to Moshe, so what are you doing now in the Midbar? What happens in the Midbar? Now listen to what Yisroel saw. Early, early in the morning, Moshe got up and he davened. And then he sat in his tent. And by that time was a long, long line of people already outside of his tent. And one by one, or sometimes two by two, they came into the tent for their turn. And these are all people that either had questions in Torah, or they had arguments that they could not figure out the answer, or they had some kind of problems, or whatever it was. And they came to Moshe that he should be the judge of all of these questions, and all of these shilas, and all of these machlekas, and all of these arguments. And Moshe sat from the morning until late at night, helping the Yidden figure out their questions in Torah and their arguments. He sat as a judge. And by the end of the day, he was so tired, he finally went to sleep, and the next morning again, there was a long line outside of his tent. And every day, a long line. Moshe by himself was taking care of all the Jews. Now Yisroel said to Moshe, I don't like to see you working so hard. It's not good for you, and it's not good for the Yidden. You have to work so hard the whole day, and the Yidden have to wait in line the whole day. It's not a way to do it. And Yisroel said, I have a good eitzah for you. from every 10 Jews, from every 10 Jews, find one monitor who is the biggest Talmud Chacham. And that would be like one group. If they ever have an argument or a problem or a shaila, they will go to their monitor and they'll ask him the answer. If he helps them, good, finished. If not, then you'll make a bigger group of 50 people. And you're going to pick the biggest Talmud Chacham of those 50 people, and he's going to be their monitor. So if the leader of the 10 couldn't figure it out, they go to the leader of the 50, they ask him the Shaila. And he should know the answer of most Shailas. After all, he's the smartest one of 50 people. If he knows it, fine. If not, then they have to go to somebody even higher and bigger. So they go, now you'll make a monitor for 100 people. Everybody will belong to a group of 100 people.